Welcome to the OA Virtual Kitchen Sink Meeting Podcast. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live and how to donate to support this meeting and our podcasts. The opinions expressed on the Kitchen Sink Podcast are those of the individual speakers and do not represent OA as a whole. And now, our speaker.
Hello, I am Rhoda, compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to Stephen for giving me this opportunity. It's always an honor and a privilege to speak at an OA meeting. And I have been back to this meeting for about 15 years when I was double booked as speaker, and I got to hear a lovely gal speak. And she popped up on the table and sat there like Tinkerbell, and I hope she's still in recovery, and perhaps even at this meeting, that would be amazing. I never got her name. And so what I was like, what happened, what I'm like now, is I have a very different kind of story. I want to prepare you all. I question if I'm even a real compulsive overeater compared to a lot of the people I hear talk and share who come from trauma and maybe hundreds of pounds, whatever. That's not my story, but I still belong here. I also was blessed with unconditionally loving parents. I was an only child. They were very sophisticated and brought me to lectures and always growth oriented. My father had hardening of the arteries, arteriosclerosis. So my mother had raised me, having learned how to use skim milk and egg whites. And she prepared wonderful meals, and I never paid attention to the healthy, wonderful meals she prepared. I just enjoyed them. And there was not much to binge on. And I won't talk about snacks that I did find for myself when I would come home from school, latchkey kid. No problem with that. But I would go over to my friends' homes and see the way the rest of the world ate and be fascinated with that. And I remember a good example for me is how I was raised is my mother would give me an avocado, but she would peel it down half, put aluminum foil down the bottom, let me eat it like an ice cream cone, and explain that it needs to get wrapped up and put in the refrigerator because while it's delicious and healthy, it's high in fat and you can't eat it all at once. And I hated having my pleasurable experience of food being interrupted, even if I was told it's for my benefit. And I am a more person, quantity eater, and was also very concerned, always wanted to be an actress, very concerned about my body size. And so it feels like I was always on a diet, and then there was always the binges after the diet and the binges before getting on the next diet, which was always fun. And then I was also a spiritual seeker, and whether it was lectures with my parents or venturing off on my own, anytime I found a loving, wonderful, seemingly spiritual group of people, there was always the breaking bread together, so to speak. And the communal activity around food. And I had a problem with that because I wanted to have more and more and more of it, but I knew it didn't go along with whatever diet I was on. And so that was, it was always in the back of my mind. And so I became a vegetarian and was, I thought I was at my most spiritual for 7 years. Problem was I took back everything that had never lived and was horrified to discover that I got up to my top weight of 183 pounds. So I am a 50 pounder. I saw a couple of people at my work lose weight. One girl in particular, 50 pounds in front of my eyes. I asked her what she did. I joined that commercial program. I lost 50 pounds. I feel like I felt like I graduated not having learned a clue as to how to keep the weight off. And I was commiserating with my know-it-all binge buddy, friends at work, saying I'm getting all these compliments and I know the weight's starting already to come back on and one more time. And one of them said she wanted to recommend, her sister had been attending these meetings called Overeaters Anonymous. She tried herself, didn't work for her. I should give it a try. And I always remember that my head went, how come I'm thin now and I'm hearing about Overeaters Anonymous? And my heart went, it sounds like just the place for you to get yourself there. And I called up, found out where the nearest meeting was, started on a Monday night, cleaned out my cupboards by eating everything that I thought I'd never get to eat again. And went, so I ate all of that. And then I went to the meeting and I was welcomed by outstretched arms and eye contact and heard my story and have never stopped coming back. And that was in 1976. However, I was terribly resistant to weighing and measuring, calling in my food, and also hearing about three moderate meals a day, nothing in between. That sounded wonderful, but not for me because I knew what I could do with a so-called moderate meal. So I kept doing diets and calling them my abstinence until I broke it and would start over. And I had been going to these wonderful meetings, OA meetings that a particular person led. And I brought my parents to that, my aging parents, and said, "See, now finally your daughter is learning sanity about food and that you can relax." And then I proceeded to do another crazy last diet, which was the eat all the foods you love diet. And that made sense to me. I couldn't stop eating, so why not save it for one big meal, and then I could eat whatever I wanted and I could still lose weight and maintain the weight loss. Didn't work for me. So finally I surrendered and I asked the person that had led those special meetings to be my sponsor, and I was so grateful they agreed. And one thing that became apparent was when I did my sex inventory, that I was very promiscuous. I was queen of the one night stands, and to call it a whole one night was being generous. But I was a hippie during the 60s too. So, but he explained that my eating was like promiscuity, or that's the way I remember it. And I needed to commit to one individual for a relationship, and I needed to commit to a specific food plan. And I chose the three moderate meals a day, nothing in between, and live life in between. And I said a prayer shortly thereafter. I said, "Lord, if there's a perfect mate for me, let him be able to let him be the next man that comes into my life, and let me be able to accept him." And then I waited for my wonderful person to show up. But that night, a person who had pursued me for 14 years from high school called, and he would tend to call every couple of years. He called that night. He ended up taking me out and taking me to dinner and proposing. And I was surrendered enough to see that it wasn't just lust. He was really offering his whole life to me, and heart. And I thought, let me check it out with my son. I don't have time to go into how my son came about. It's a wonderful story. But he was very supportive of the idea of marrying and me having more kids, which is what I really wanted to do at age 30, have another child. And so we got married. I got pregnant right away. I divorced him when I was 4 months pregnant because of something very unacceptable to me. But he kept being showing up, taking care of the baby, taking me out. I could never get rid of this guy to this day. And so I was pregnant my first year of abstinence. And that baby turns 45 on July 1st. And on June 10th, I turn 46 years of abstinence. So it took me 2.5 years to settle into that abstinence. It also is imperfect. And I have never stopped coming to meetings. And as I said, I'm a more person. I finally call myself a meeting addict because I start off with a Zoom meeting in the morning. I actually went to my 7:30 regular meeting there before coming here. And then I go to two more meetings in person after that. I'm done by 1 p.m. to do other things with my life. And one of my greatest joys, and when I looked over the steps, I thought, I've done a lot of this searching and inventory and in other growth movements I'd been in and whatnot. But the idea of being able to take, of recovering and then taking somebody else through the steps of Overeaters Anonymous really was a beacon. And that motivated me. And that has been my main joy to this day. So I have been faithfully doing this for more than half of my life. And then what else can I tell you? So I am an optimistic person. I wake up and I do want to go bouncing out of bed. I used to bounce out of bed, take care of my morning ablutions, and get to the in-person 7:30 meeting. Now I take care of what I need to do and then bounce back into bed, which is my platform for the Zoom meetings. I'm so grateful for Zoom. I want to give an example of how I tend to bite off more than I can chew. That expression came to me because Steve had invited me to speak at this meeting, seems like months ago. And then I signed up for a weekend activity, showbiz related, which was offered on Zoom or in person. I really wanted to go in person. And they start off with a lovely breakfast, and then there's panels, and there's a lovely lunch, and then there's more panels. And I was trying to figure out how I could make the 8 a.m. park, which is not easy. You have to be first come, first serve to get parking, check in, first come, first serve, get my breakfast, fellowship or with my fellow with friends there, save my seat. And then I was going to go downstairs to where my car was parked and hope that my Zoom would work well in my car. But I had a feeling it wouldn't. And I kept grappling with that. And finally, the obvious solution came to me, and we will intuitively know how to handle things that used to baffle us. And the solution was to let go of the in-person activity and stay home. And I signed up for the Zoom link, which I can do after these meetings if I choose to. And oh my God, what a relief, insanity. And of course, it is always a challenge for me, and I've shared about this, and Steve has heard me share specific food items that show up at these movie screenings. Free has always been one of my bugaboos. Free food always seems like it should not have consequences attached, and we know that's not true. I've heard the expression, if it's not an option, it's not a problem. And I always like to keep all my options open. And that has gotten me into trouble, although not enough for me to feel that I've broken my abstinence. But I do challenge myself. And I tell myself I'm maintaining now, this and that. I have never used a food sponsor. Ironically, I've become more of a food sponsor these days, and I'm very grateful for that, than a step sponsor. Largely because I pack a lot into the mainstream of life, which is a phrase out of the Big Book too. And I'm a people person, and I thrive with these in-person activities. And I also very much value people that are willing to trust me with their food, because I know sharing that most intimate of all behaviors, what we put in our mouth, is really something. And to have that willingness to do that seems to help a lot of people. And I'm grateful to be at the other end of that phone. And all through my day, while I'm at my activities, I'm at my meetings, whatever I'm doing, I'm getting text messages from my sponsees, and feeling very, very much in contact with my program. What else can I tell you? I used to feel, I mean, I don't remember any trauma in my life. I feel very blessed. I found my higher power long before coming into OA. And grateful that the 12 steps provides a way to find each and every individual higher power, which we can choose to call whatever we want, but the connection is so important. But what I wanted to say is I used to feel there were only two mistakes that God or whatever had made in my life. One, I had a problem with food. I would like that problem to be relieved. I would like to ultimately eat as much as I want, anytime I want, everything I want, with no consequences. And that hasn't happened. And the other one was I wanted to find my soulmate. And during the 60s, that was a big term. And I was trying hard to find my soulmate. And I'm not sure if he is my soulmate, but he might be this person that pursued me since the 11th grade of high school. I admired his artistic sensibilities. We would go to movies together, but I was not attracted to him in any way, shape, or form other than that. And I was always saying all those years, if we can't just be friends, then don't call me anymore because I'm not going to be your girlfriend. And when I surrendered, as I said, he was one that called. I ended up marrying him. I divorced him. We got a home together. One thing led to another. We have a second child together. So grateful. I have three sons, which is a miracle because I'm not a domestic type homebody by any means. And I blocked his calls after my second divorce, which my kids encouraged me to do because he was kind of a rageaholic and a workaholic, but he worshiped and adored me, but he was tough on the kids. And so then finally, he matured, my kids matured, and he's back in my life now for some 12 years, I think, or more. And we just went to a movie yesterday together. We hold hands, and that's the extent pretty much of the relationship I want back with him. He's still proposing to me. God bless him, trying for a third opportunity. So that's
Excuse me, you have
one of my
5 minutes
miracles,
left.
two in OA. I actually would like to stop at this point. I can't think of much. Oh, one more thing I'm going to say. I go to a lot of meetings, as I mentioned, and I go to meetings that are not where I'm not a member because I don't satisfy the third in the third tradition. The only requirement is to stop eating compulsively, so I satisfy that here in OA, but I don't satisfy it in the open meetings I go to. And but I hear such great stuff, and I work the heck out of that fellowship. I like to have my hand outstretched and welcome people as I did this morning to our people that came early. And I heard the definition of enlightenment is to lighten up. And that's what I want to leave you all with. This sounds like a meeting that really appreciates taking it easy and lightening up. And I feel very welcome here. Thanks for letting me share.
This is the time for questions only. There is no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any one of us after the meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leader are my own and not those of O-Readers Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not identify yourself. If you asked a question last week, please wait until the first three questions have been asked before raising your hand. If you have a question, please click the raise your hand icon.
Bob, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. That was a phenomenal share. Do you have a daily routine, and what is it, if you wouldn't mind?
Yes, I have a daily routine, but I pretty much covered it in terms of brushing my teeth, et cetera, getting myself ready to get into the world, and then hop on my 7:30 OA meeting. I do that 7 days a week, and then zip out of the house to get to my 9 a.m. in-person meeting. And I either walk before that meeting if I've arrived in time or after the meeting. And I always ask a fellow at any meeting that I'm at, whether I know them or not, unless I have specific people I always walk with. I will look for somebody that might be willing to do a walk and talk, I call it, so that we can fellowship, get to know each other better, get our exercise. And many, many people in program are massive hikers and work out at the gym and all that. So this is my only workout. I do 2 15-minute walks around my neighborhood or the neighborhood where the in-person meeting is that I go to. And these walks mean so much to me. But if I can share that with a fellow, love it. And then I am either in my car waiting for the next meeting to begin at the same location. So that's when I'm checking my emails and taking sponsees calls, doing outreach. My meditation is more a walking meditation, or when I'm breathing, that's when I'm in touch with my higher power all the time. So I can do that during most of my activities. And that's what really keeps me in connection with every living, breathing thing as well. And then after 1 o'clock, I also work part-time, so if there's work to get to, that's great, and I might have to not do any of those things I just mentioned because I have to go to work, depending on the time. But otherwise, I come back home and I might take a nap and certainly have lunch, and I already know pretty much what my dinner's going to be. And then I'm often going out to a show or a movie screening in the night. And I used to say my routine was upon awakening, saying, you know, like, thank you, God. And at the end, or for another wonderful day of abstinence in the end, ending my night that way as well. I don't even do that anymore. I really keep it simple. But the conscious connection is always there, as much as possible. I hope that answered your question, Bob. Next.
Don, go ahead.
Thank you, Rhoda, for your share. My question is, how do you use program in your relationships with your children, with your sort of significant other, and so forth?
Beautiful question. Let's start with my children. My firstborn son was, I think, 8 years old when I left him home alone to go to that first meeting at night. And he just turned 56, by the way. And he... I intentionally set about having him. I told my parents my next goal was to have a baby. And I didn't know, none of the men I was with wanted to be a father. So I just left that up to the hippie 60s. And we didn't find out who his father was until 23andMe or whatever. When he turned 50, he found his father. And he just came back with my granddaughters, his daughters, his wife, to Brazil, where his father lives. And that's a whole amazing story. So as he was growing up from like age 8, he knew that mom was doing this OA program. And I quickly afterwards had the baby, and I pictured myself always with a phone, holding the phone and with the baby, because my kids saw me always with sponsees and outreach phone calls. And I took them to a meeting place that had a beautiful name to it, but it sounded like homeless guy. And there were homeless guys there. So we joke about how I was taking those meetings. And they feel like they grew up in program to some degree, but they also feel like I neglected them a lot. And they've both been vocal about that in their own ways. My youngest one, who today turns 42, calls me every day, if possible, says I'm his best friend, and is really searching for a purpose. And he's an amazing individual. And I've tried to steer him or suggested a few programs that he might check out. And he hasn't found one yet. My middle one did get sober, and he's coming up. September, I believe, will be 18 years for him. But at the same time he got sober, he discovered that he was bipolar. And so, but we've gone to each other's program meetings. No, he's never come to an OA meeting, though, and doesn't need it. But they just know that it's so much a part of my life, and they know they can tell me absolutely anything. And it's been so much a part of my life. And I mean, we practice love and tolerance and acceptance and looking for solution. And I share that with them, and they share with me. So it's been pivotal. I'll end there. Next.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, Rhoda. Thank you so much for your share today. Can you share with us how your relationship with your higher power has changed over the years? Thanks.
I would say yes, because I briefly became a born again Christian, which was a massive surrender on my part. And I got a lot from it, but I couldn't stay with it long because I just hated the thought, well, the whole too much religion. And blessings on people that make any religious behavior work for them. Didn't work for me. So, and I surrendered to when I became a vegetarian, I did another form of prostrating myself and surrendering, and had a wonderful time with that group. And oh, before that, I'd done transcendental meditation. So I had that meditation technique, and I got that other meditation technique. I got another. And so my higher power, I don't know when it became love officially, but it helps that the meeting room that some of the Zoom meetings split off and went back to the meeting room in Studio City. I have not been back that meeting room, but it was a church meeting room. It happened to have a big sign that said God is love. And so love, wherever love is practiced and accepted, that's where I feel comfortable. And if I'm not doing something loving for myself, and for others, I'm out of sync with my higher power. And it's not the higher power that's moved away, it's me that's moved away. So the breathing gets me back in to that state of serenity and acceptance. And whatever spiritual literature, and I love the spirituality of the AA and OA literature so much. And that's partly why I love being in meetings, hearing other people reading that and discussing it at different points of view. Is very important to me. I say that I have my antennas, my spiritual antennas are always out, not just for cultural activities, but for spirituality. If somebody has found something that's really it for them, I might invite myself along and check it out because I always want to know if there's something I missed and what people are into. I guess that's the answer to that question. Thank you.
I have a question for you, Rhoda. Thanks so much for your share. What character assets are you pleasantly surprised were strengthened as you grew in program? And what character defects have left in program? Thank you.
I love that. I love that question. I'm going to answer it in reverse. Judgmentalism. Oh my God, I didn't realize how much of a judge I was. And maybe that's why I was doing a lot of binge eating too, to not notice that. So the character asset opposite is discernment. And I can have discernment and wisdom, but I laugh at myself when I sometimes all we can judge a person if we're prone to judging when they come into a room is how they look. So I might make a judgment about a particular person and be delighted and laugh at myself at how wrong I was, which is often the case. So that's one example. I would say that my wanting more. I don't know if I exactly had FOMO, fear of missing out, but I know that's a popular expression. And it is hard for me to cancel certain activities when I'm really looking forward to them, but something's got to give. But lately, I came up with an expression that I might have created on my own, which is JOMO, which is joy of missing out. And oh my God, it gives me so much joy and peace when I realize maybe it's raining too much and I have no business driving off to some movie screening I wanted to go to and just let it go.
So those are two examples. And thanks for your service, Ryan. I guess it was you that was calling on people because I couldn't see people. Is that you?
Yes, yes. Yeah, and that was a great answer. I love that, Jomo. Thank you.
Next.
We have about 8 minutes left for question and answer.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi, Rhoda. Thank you for your share. I have a question. Despite all your years of abstinence, did you ever regress and let the scale be your higher power?
Thank you for that question. I never did. The scale is in use in my life. I do weigh in, but it's just a reality check. And I remember how detrimental the scale can be, because if I lost weight, I wanted to celebrate, I guess, and then more weight would come back on. Or if I found myself over where I thought I was, that was crushing. And so that domination of the scale is long, long ago. But it is a good reality check. It's not, I know some people that never weigh themselves anymore, and that might be fine too. I also have a situation where when I got up to 183 before coming into OA, I tend to wear long floaty dresses. It's my style, no matter what weight I am. And I guess I tended to look at myself only from the neck up, as many of us are wont to do. And boy, I remember I was trying to share the latest meditation that I was in with a fellow I knew from college who had been in TM, I think. And he said to me, "You might have a light to shine, but it's hidden under a bushel of fat and I can't see it." Wow, what a slap in the face that was. But I took it to heart, and that's when I thought maybe I am overweight. And I went to a commercial program, and that's when I lost the 50 pounds. But he told me the truth. So not kindly, but that's how I heard it and how I remember it. And what can you say? That's all I want to talk about, scales.
Michelle.
Hi, thank you so much. My question is, how have you worked the steps? What role has that played in your recovery?
Well, I do have to do 1, 2, and 3 every day, but I don't do it very formally. I just know I am powerless over food and my life gets unmanageable. And I do believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And I do consciously turn my life over all the time to the care of a higher power. And I do emphasize the word care. And I'm not a person that does writing much or journaling. I listen to others writing and journaling, and I'm grateful that they want to share that with me. But that's never been a need. In fact, I've wandered in the past to a few writing meetings, whether it's at conventions or in a strange town where I found an OA meeting. And I just tend to write, I'm grateful. So, and I am grateful. So I love the 7-step prayer. And that's my favorite one if I'm asked to suggest a prayer to close out a meeting with. I look at it as a hokey pokey. We do put our whole selves in, but we take our whole selves out, put our whole selves in, and we shake it all about. And we do get shook up in working the steps, and that's a good thing. And I haven't had to do a lot of amends, but I do them if I realize that I might have, like, my mouth, something might have come out that hurt a person unintentionally, or I've done something that's offended a person. I want to make that amends right away and apologize and say that I'm going to change, or give them a chance to communicate back to me. And 10, 11, and 12 are called the maintenance steps. So I do review, but again, not having to write it down and not a big deal, but I just review. How was my day? Did I accomplish a few things? Did I have a purpose? And usually I'm pretty pleased with it. And I wake up in the morning looking forward to the day as planned. And if things have to go awry or change around, be flexible. And so through prayer and meditation, the meditation again is my deep breathing, conscious breathing. I used to especially do it, encourage my kids to do it. In fact, for the longest time before our meals together, just to be silent and have that deep inhale and exhale. And that's fallen away. Even for myself, I don't do that anymore. In step 12, I feel like I'm in step 12 right now. And always my intention is to be available for someone that needs to hear about program, share in program, making connections and being available to connect wherever I can with people. So that's how the steps work in my life.